Hello, Pisces, and welcome to Good as Gold, your 2014 art and productivity and self-esteem report. An exploration of an astrological theory about how to harness your creative power in a focused way and feel good about yourself and support yourself with what you're doing. And I'm here to explain your chart and your transits, the best I understand them, to assemble those parts and to get that flow going and to help you connect with the, in particular, the economically productive side of your creative work, but that also works its way into the creatively productive side. And, you know, there are a few little hoops to jump through, it seems, for most people on the way to getting there. I am at the end of this process. I've been recording now since last Sunday, so it's been a week of doing these readings. So Pisces is the 12th. I usually go in order, at least doing audio, and so I've been all around the wheel. I've been all around this world, and I'm at the end of the zodiac now. That is where Pisces resides. Pisces is the sign that contains all the other signs. Pisces is the ocean that refuses no river. It is the ocean that contains perhaps 80 different samples of trace elements. If you analyze seawater, I look this up periodically just out of curiosity, too deep in my understanding of Pisces. And from what I gather, you can extract, with the right equipment, about 70 or 80 different elements from ordinary seawater. So everything pretty much ends up in the ocean, and that is one way to describe your mental process, your imagination, your existence. This is not an ordinary time for Pisces. This is a moment when there are a diversity of slow-moving outer planets in your sign. Until recently were not thought to be any. Chiron and Neptune made their way in between 2010 and 2012 after both making very long treks through Aquarius, your solar 12th house. And this was the time in your life that spans back maybe to about, I would say, maybe 2000 or 2001, when it seemed like you were on a journey that was so long it might not ever end. And even if the physical journey ended, then you might have been in one place feeling like you were still on a journey that would never end. And so now these two major influences, Neptune and Chiron, have come out of your 12th house. They've come out from behind the scrim of consciousness and are fully emergent in you. They are part of you now after having been integrated into your thought process of the 12th house and then emerging into your birth sign. There's also two other points there, both very Piscean. One is called Borassisi, and that is about the power of belief to shape reality. It's also about the power of belief to deceive. And so that is a fine line to walk. And then there's another slow mover called Salacia, who I believe is the wife of Neptune, the consort of Neptune, who is a very much a seafaring goddess. Salacia is the root of saline and also salacious, which means salty. And I like to think of salacious people as being salty. I'm one of these salty people rather than a sweet person, and that's my preference. So nice to have Salacia in Pisces. So it's a very rich Piscean moment. This is a not a barren stretch of ocean that you are occupying these days. Rather, it is a busy, living, thriving reef of all kinds of diverse life, and the water of your sign is very nicely being refreshed by Neptune, who is, again, a relatively recent arrival and will be in Pisces for a long time, well into the middle of the next decade, at least another 11 or 12 years. So Pisces is home to Neptune, and that is something you can think of as a more or less permanent fixture. That has a number of different implications. One potential implication is inspiration. Another potential implication is isolation. That can be a factor of Neptune, and that is something that has to be addressed carefully and also taken advantage of in a way that is helpful, because for any kind of creative process, isolation can be extremely helpful, even though you have some rather social aspects of your nature. It is important to remove yourself from as many distractions as possible in order to be free to do the introspection that's necessary when you really have to pull out creativity dependably and in a way that is entirely useful. You can't really be distracted by other people. We're going to talk about relationships and how to choose in those relationships and who it is that is likely to play what role in your life, especially if you are cognizant of the roles that are possible, and you remember that there are some people who support us in what we do, and there are some people who don't. And sometimes it takes some learning and discernment to be able to tell the difference. Now, arriving at the end of the zodiac, Pisces is the sign before Aries, which is the beginning of the zodiac. And though they are joined by a kind of invisible line in space, known mainly to computers and astronomers and mathematicians, it is the longest leap to go from Pisces to Aries. It's only a one sign maneuver, right? It's only like going from, Gemini to Cancer. But the nature of Pisces and the nature of Aries are so different that the one thing that would almost assure that you had strong self-respect and that you therefore had full access to your power of initiation is so different than the nature of Pisces. The nature of Pisces is much more soft and receptive. The nature of Aries is much more self-assertive. And that self-assertiveness, that focusing yourself and really being to you what would seem like completely, utterly ballsy, can be very difficult for Pisces, which has a natural inclination to be more yin and receptive and retreating. And yet, deep in your nature is a fully empowered aspect of yourself that is longing to be called forth and longing to assert itself, which is to say that you are longing to assert yourself in ever bolder ways. And yet, how do you get from one place to the other? How do you make that stretch? And that is a challenging question. And I think that probably most people who have done it would say it's something that you just do. I think for Pisces, there's some reassurance that's necessary and some granting of permission that is necessary. Because with Pisces, we can get that, borrowing a line from T.S. Eliot, the "do I dare eat a peach" phenomenon. That's a line from his first and one of his most famous poems called The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And Prufrock is this guy who's very inwardly reflective and doesn't quite know what to make of the world, doesn't know what to make of women, and he is extremely insecure. And at one point, he describes his own insecurity by saying, "Do I dare eat a peach?" Now, I think anyone sensitive can relate to that. I mean, if you look at a peach and you feel its absolutely unique beauty, well, I think it's a worthwhile question to ask whether you should just chomp down and bite into it. But it's not the kind of question that Ernest Hemingway would have asked. But it's the kind of question that you might ask because you're concerned about your impact and not wanting to push or bang too hard on the world, not wanting to make, an unnecessary ripple in the world. And yet, you will access your deepest and most dependable strength by going to that spot where you are willing to be self-possessed and to express yourself outwardly, not just inwardly. And you have a lot of help in doing that. There are there are several concentrations of planets right now, but two of the more interesting and better known ones are happening in Pisces and Aries. And so by one measure, your Piscean nature is, running strong with Neptune and Salacia, Chiron, Borysici, all gathered together in Pisces. You're really feeling that thing about being a Pisces person, which is, that's the only sun sign that I remember myself having, and none of my other lifetimes have I ever inquired what my sun sign was. So for all I know, I've been a Pisces for all of them, but I don't know anything from the inside about, being born under another sign, sun-wise. However, I would say that, the particular sensitivity of Pisces, the special kind of receptivity that Pisces has, both avoids and profoundly needs that gathering up of fire in your hands and throwing that fireball, or what may certainly seem like doing something so bold. It is actually not that bold. It's more like about as bold as decisively saying, "I am." And what that "I am" would contain right now is, with Uranus in Aries, your second house, it would be saying something like, "I am different. I am an inventor. I am a revolutionary. I am willing to be as different as I need to be in order to come out of my shell." And Uranus is helping you do that. Uranus may also be leaving you wondering what it is that's really important to you, but actually I would say that same things that have always been important to you are now, and that Uranus is just accentuating the point and encouraging you to be more assertive about your values and to think of yourself in radical ways. What remains the same throughout, with or without Uranus in your sign, is that one of the most significant roles that you can play in your own life, in the lives of people around you, in the life of the wider culture, is as an initiator. This is becoming a rare energy, I think, as increasingly more people are hypnotized out of their creativity by technology. I think that for you, you have always kept hold of this initiator quality, though your retreating nature may have led you to, wonder quite how you were going to actually step out and make a difference. But Uranus is there provoking you and saying, well, you need to really reinvent yourself in this way. And that would come with ever more experimental concepts of I am. Eris is also there. Eris has a kind of a kaleidoscopic effect on the whole theme of I am. Eris is also assertive, but in a more subversive way than Uranus is. And Eris is wanting to provoke you to challenge others and to challenge your environment and to take action when you think that it's time to take action. And the South Node in Aries is saying very distinctly that the way that you were in the past is no longer effective. It's no longer going to get the job done, and that your idea of I am needs to be a whole new thing that you've never lived before. Some breakthrough, and that breakthrough is, I believe, right on the horizon. So one way to put this simply is that the key to accessing your potential is accessing your fire, to tune into the fiery side of your nature and then keep that going. Now, that should not be that difficult right now for you because there is so much activity in the fire signs. And I'm going to go through them one at a time. I've covered some of what is in Aries. And the thing about Aries is there is this constant exchange going on right now between the old and the new, between what you are pioneering into and unfolding about yourself and what you have known has been around too long as a stuck point, and that it is time to move on from that stuck point. This may involve money. It may involve values about money. The thing with money is that it is a, no matter what line of work you're in, whether you are a potter or a stockbroker, money is something that requires energy and initiative. In my experience, at least from what I've had happen to me and what I've seen, generally speaking, money is acquired through intention and will and planning and taking initiative, not merely because it just happens. And I think that a lot of the struggle that people face with money is the special focus on the subject can be, you know, wear people down, and it seems to be unclean. I assure you that if you start to get this moving, you're going to find that it's anything but unclean, because not even the money itself, but the willingness to make the investment in yourself, the willingness to dare, the willingness to assert those sides of your nature is going to arrive with such a sense of strength that I think you will find it very appealing and an extremely refreshing change from ways you may have considered yourself in the past. Okay, fire house number two, engine two, that would be the sixth house, and that is where you have Leo in your chart. One of the best things about Pisces, though this is again, not talked about in astrology textbooks. I'm not sure how this has been missed by astrology textbooks. And, you know, maybe it's that astrologers are working with a little bit less of a theoretical framework than I have, though my theoretical framework just really comes from staring at the blank astrology wheel, is that Pisces is a kind of a fiery sign. There is something about Pisces that is very well harmonized with the whole concept of fire and with all of the fire signs. The second piece of evidence we have of this is Leo on the sixth house. This is the ability, first of all, to get a lot done. It is about boundless energy once you tap into that and once you apply yourself and sort of move into the space where you're going to do the work. And that, by the way, does involve having the appropriately set up physical space, a vital thing for you. You have an enormous amount of persistence, vitality and the ability to get an incredible amount of work done. I know that all the textbook and website definitions of Pisces are all about all this dreamy, misty, I can feel the energy stuff. But in reality, Pisces is a much more practical sign than it is given credit for. And now you have Jupiter in Leo. That's going to be the long-lasting influence. At the moment, there's also Mercury and the Sun and soon to be Venus. And all of this is saying good work. There is a streak of luck involved in this. There is a streak of luck when you dare to take initiative, when you apply that concept of fire, and particularly when you build your identity around the work that you are doing. Now, I don't mean, get the business cards printed and set up the website type of building your identity. I really mean identifying with the work that you do in a way that you don't really have to describe to yourself. That also can include making sure that the work that you are doing is work that you identify with. And what you feel helps strengthen your sense of presence on the planet and really build up your feeling of being productive through actually being productive. Leo is a very substantial sign, and the sixth house is one of those real world type houses. It's about workspaces, work activity, healing, well-being, and service. And Leo can be boundless with energy in those areas of life. And you've got that aligned right with the sixth house is probably the most productive house of the 12 houses. And so Jupiter's presence in there is I'm not looking for the right verb here. It's not exactly pushing. It is more guiding and inviting and making it really enticing to get a lot done. And that is really the name of the game, particularly in the Western economy where productivity is pretty much everything. But this is productivity that builds rather than depletes. It's productivity that serves rather than takes. It's productivity where there is some recognition, where there is a sense of quality to the work rather than something that's just gone at the end of the day. There's a big difference between those two kinds of work where it's like kind of assembly line or, making sandwiches, flipping burgers, and all the various other careers that seem more glorified and carry larger paychecks, and the kind of work where there is something cumulative, where there is something that builds and that grows, and where there is a sense of maturity and self-development. I think that of all the professions on earth, being an artist is one that comes with the most deep inner self-development. I think more than, say, for example, being a therapist or a salesperson or a lot of other professions in there, Indian chief and all that. Art requires constant introspection, and there's always this translation of what is inward to what is outward. And if you engage in that process, you will accelerate your maturity, and the more you devote yourself to that, the more you will accelerate your maturity. And this is a beautiful gift of creative process that I think people who don't engage in creative process and whose minds don't work in a creative way, that is to say, by going from what is not there to an imagination of what could be there to actually having something be there, that is what I would call the creative process. Really, the process of bringing in something from what seems like pure thought. Very good for your soul. All right, one more fiery house. This is one of the best features of the Pisces chart. And all the fiery houses work together. So the self-esteem house number 2, the productivity house and healing, number six, and then the 10th house, Sagittarius, the house of ambition, aspiration, and achievement. Again, you're very unlikely to pick up any astrology textbook written I've probably got 20 different, astrology textbooks on my shelf that delineate the signs. I don't ever recall reading how ambitious Pisces is, how much you want to achieve. There are a lot of high-achieving Pisces in the world, but it's just a thing that's not credited to the Pisces archetype. You always get that crap about two fish swimming in opposite directions. That's the nature of the soul. That's the nature of incarnation. Pisces, for its part, draws a lot of fire from achievement, and one of the ways to focus yourself and one of the ways to bring out an underlying level of who you are and tap that fire is to set goals, is to imagine how you want things to be. There's more of that materializing quality in Sagittarius, where it is about moving from objective to objective. I mean, the central image of Sagittarius is that arrow that is pointed at its mark. You have a little thread of the bow there when it's actually the arrow flying. That line through the arrow is implying that the arrow is in motion. And the thing about Sagittarius is aiming. It's about having an idea that you reach for, that you work for, that you aspire to, that you guide yourself to, that you believe in, and that you are willing to stand out and shine. Of these three houses we're analyzing, 2, 6, and 10, the 10th house is by far the most visible. And one beautiful thing about Sagittarius, is that it's the fiery version of Pisces. They're both mutable signs. They're both ruled by Jupiter in traditional astrology, and they're both what would be distinctly called spiritualizing influences. Again, using a byword there, but they have a lot in common. They're common. They're almost like, brothers who are exactly the same and exactly different. And so we get another version of Pisces with Sagittarius, but that is the version of Pisces that actually stands out, that pushes, that expresses, that basically lives for achievement. And there's always going to be that more laid-back part of you, but it is worth at this stage as well, because there's just such gorgeous activity in the fire signs, and that activity is going to increase at the end of 2014 and through 2015, as Saturn moves across your solar 10th house cusp. This does not happen often. It's the kind of thing that happens about once every 29 years, a little bit less, about maybe every 27 and a half years or so, that Saturn is in Pisces, rather in Sag for 2.5 years, and you're going to have this potent, materializing, achievement-oriented, responsibility embracing influence cross over your 10th house. It's going to make a visit in the early winter through the winter of 2014-15 in the Northern Hemisphere. I think it's going to be there a little bit of time in the spring, retreat back into Scorpio, and then come back into Sagittarius to stay for another 2 years. And so there's a transition phase going on now, and what may seem like inward and preparatory, sort of like setting the stage, preparing space, accessing your ideas, getting in the flow of expressing those ideas, developing confidence in yourself, is going to yield results as Saturn ingresses Sagittarius and then takes hold in that sign. This may be it may come along with a kind of a recollection of when Pluto entered Sagittarius in 1995, which was another time of embarking on high achievement. And this may be a phase of completing the work that was in some way begun in 1995 or so. Pluto moving through your sign for those 12 years from 95 to about 2007-8 was an extremely productive time in a certain way, where you were able to concentrate some power and build a reputation. And Saturn's ingress into Sagittarius is a time of basically being able to cash in on that reputation, being able to be fully known for what it is that you have accomplished over all of this time. Now, one bit about Sagittarius and its role in your chart now is that there are a lot of planets gathered in Sagittarius. And by planets, I mean things that are not taught in elementary school, but things that are also mostly not considered asteroids. There are some asteroids, but there are also a group of centaur planets. It's the fattest concentration of centaur planets in the zodiac right now is collected in Sagittarius, and it's all collected around this point called the galactic core, which is the supermassive black hole at the core of our galaxy. You have this in your house of achievement. You are something of an achievement magnet. But what you may be feeling like is you've accomplished a lot of small things and haven't really accomplished any one great thing. And what is, I think, likely to happen when Saturn makes its transition into Sagittarius is that you will be able to gather together your achievements and get a sense of the whole of what all of this adds up to, because it's going to be, I think, evident when a structure gathering element as such as Saturn is applied to the 10th house. You will see that all of the different things that you've done, all the different ways that you have explored and accomplished things, though none of them may seem like a major contribution individually, are going to add up to something that is pretty special. And I say all of this with the understanding that it is necessary to maintain the momentum of accomplishment, to keep that sense of becoming, of experimenting, of stretching into new territory, of setting ever more ambitious goals for yourself going. This will be very healthy for you. I don't know if, you know, it's hard to say what's going on in therapy these days, but I am someone who believes that achievement builds self-esteem, especially achievement that is not designed to impress anyone, but that is more about what you want to do, and then you set your own goal and you do something as a, you know, they're what I would call a personal goal. It's not about impressing your father or impressing your mother or impressing your boss or anything like that. It is that you, for your own peace of mind and your own whatever that spiritual necessity is, decide you're going to do this. This is what is going to happen. And you have that ability, and you have it in a very bold way. All right, let's consider relationships. That's an important factor, because collaboration is so vital, and you are such a sensitive person. And though everyone needs love and companionship, I think that this is something that is healthy to emphasize for Pisces. You may be noticing that there is a non-negotiable thing going on in some ways. Say, for example, encountering people who are narrow or who have a narrow point of view. It's not that they're bad people or unintelligent people. Indeed, they might be wonderful people, and they might have a true streak of intelligence to them. But there is a narrowness, and it is easy for you to get fixated on that narrowness, as if you only tried hard enough, you could broaden their point of view enough. And I think that it's going to be very helpful to recognize who is narrow, and rather than fighting that, turn it to some positive, such as focus, but not expect more in the way of broad-mindedness, in the way of a kind of a conceptual expansiveness, or the willingness to you know, dare to do things that have never been done before, which is very much in affinity with your Pisces and Sagittarius nature. Pisces first house, Sagittarius 10th house. Not everyone is like that. And you have to assert leadership, and part of asserting leadership is knowing the nature of the people that you're leading and making sure that you access their skills and that you are not fighting their nature. It's tempting to do that, and when people place themselves in some way or we find them in direct relationship to ourselves, it can be tempting to want them to be a certain way, but it'll be much easier for you to recognize exactly who is who and what they are and be able to work with them from within the constraints of their own self-definition. Their encounter with you will stretch them. It may take time, but it's really not worth pushing the issue with anyone who doesn't seem interested. Now, that said, there are a number of openings, and in addition to this sort of narrow influence, there's a whole other dimension of people who are coming into your life and who I suggest that you orient yourself on being drawn to, for whom life is negotiable. And I think that the people that you want to be the closest to and invest the most energy in are the ones for whom basically everything is negotiable, or the list of non-negotiables is short and meaningful. But if people present you with a list of non-negotiables or one thing after the next just seems to fit that category, that's someplace you're going to burn a lot of energy. On the other hand, if you consciously court relationships with people who are who have some diversity in their thinking and who kind of swing both ways and who are willing to evaluate all sides of the story and who show some psychic mobility and who have the ability to say yes as well as no, and to mean yes and no both, because not everyone has a well-developed yes or no, and some people have a more well-developed no but not a well-developed yes, and that can swing wildly out of balance. You want to make sure that there is the capacity for balance, the capacity for negotiation, and then you make an arrangement that works for both of you. And I think this will work in situations where there is any money transacted, where there is any sexuality that's transacted, or any relationship that is of the committed kind of relationship. And if you're, you know, if you're encountering someone, work with the side of their nature that is negotiable. Find that spot where there is the where that hinge has a little bit of oil in it, and where there is some flexibility. And given time, you're likely to find that, but there are some people who really do that a lot better than other people. While we're on the subject of air signs, I would like to emphasize the importance of Aquarius in your chart. Let's just rewind for 10 seconds and talk about how you understand what a sign means. Let's say you're an astrology student, you're trying to understand the nature of a sign. Say, for example, your sign, Pisces. The way that I'm doing this, and in terms of exploring the whole wheel and looking at the way that the signs come in on a certain angle to Pisces, is a key way to do that. But the quickest way to do it without having to study the entire wheel is study the signs to either side of your sign. So we first have talked about Aries, the sign that follows Pisces. And I talked about the long jump from the more retreating and intuitive, laid-back self-concept that Pisces often has to the fiery, assertive I am-ness of having Aries on the second house. So that is a potent contrast, and yet it's one that you inherently contain. If we go back a couple of signs and look what's on the other side of Pisces, we see that on the other side of Pisces is Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. It's a fixed sign, so that's another way of being pretty darned opposite of Pisces, which is a mutable water sign. And Aquarius has the distinction in the chart of Pisces of being the 12th house of Pisces. So it's a little bit like Aquarius is to Pisces what Pisces is to many other signs. It is this hidden dimension, and in that hidden dimension, there is a lot of cognition going on. So within the more musically and artistically and impressionistic kind of cliched idea of Pisces, there is actually a kind of a mental genius operating behind the scenes. And that soft, intuitive nature is an attribute, but underneath that, there's this very powerful biocomputer running that is constantly seeking understanding, and that in particular is seeking a kind of order to the psychic realm, an order to the creative realm. I'm marking the chart with this. I've never quite thought this before. And it's that willingness and that desire to make order out of the psychic realm, an order out of the creative realm, that makes it so accessible to you. You actually seek understanding. So this is pretty amazing. For most people, the 12th house is a total mystery. It is inaccessible unless they're, you know, have some shocking dream or take ayahuasca or smoke some really good pot or encounter a piece of art that changes their life. The 12th house is not one of the things that it's either not normally accessible or many people don't know when they're right there. And for you, it is the kind of thing that you step into the 12th house, you step into the dream time, and there is logic to it. There are tangible dimensions. There are places that you can return to. Now, I think that the 12th is one of the most important wells of creativity, because typically in astrology, it represents the subconscious or the unconscious. And so much beautiful creativity comes out of that realm. A lot of very great art has been inspired by dreams and by hallucinogenic experiences. You know, much of the art and music of the 1960s, which still lives on today as really brilliant stuff and is now starting to take on the feeling of classical art, was inspired by accessing the 12th house. And the 12th house is the kind of place for you that actually has a mapping to it. That is so fascinating about Pisces, because Aquarius is an orderly, crystallized energy field. And Aquarius, for the most part, wants to be able to return to where it's gone and understand it. It wants to be able to put the file in a place and have that file be there so that the information can be accessed and integrated. And this works this way with ideas also, that you want the idea to be where you want it to be so that you can actually return to it. And there's an implication that ideas take on a life of their own. That is a very Aquarian factor of ideas crystallizing and then growing. And so you have enormous strength that you can use by tapping and collaborating with your own unconscious. It, for example, would make sense to, if you are facing some kind of a puzzle or a problem, to define that puzzle or that problem before you go to sleep, and don't worry about whether you can solve it. All you need to do is get as far as being able to describe the puzzle or describe the problem, and then going to sleep, letting your conscious mind take a little rest, your unconscious, so-called unconscious mind, starts to work on it, and in the morning, you have a solution. This will work a lot of different ways, but there is a habit that you can cultivate of accessing the unconscious, and one of the ways you do that is, in addition to the think about it before you go to sleep trick, is to give something time. To give yourself a certain number of days or weeks or hours or months to solve a problem, or to write the thing on the wall and hang the thing on the wall and think about it, again and again and again. One of the most inherent beautiful traits of Pisces is its patience and its ability to track things over long periods of time. And with Aquarius working in the background, you get a multitasking ability and you get a multi-level cognition ability where the creative and the intellectual are perfectly harmonized, or they can be if you ask them to be, basically, if you make the conscious choice to harmonize them. And so to one side of Pisces, there is a fabulous biocomputer operating that is able to process things below the surface in a way that does not require tangible labor and calculation. To the other side of Pisces is this very strong inclination to initiative and self-assertiveness. And so to really work the energy of Pisces, you can go below the boards and allow that biocomputer to do all the processing that you needed to do, where again, the important part of that process is to define the question, to define the puzzle in a certain way, or at least to set up the equation and then know that it can be solved, and let the beauty of your own mind solve it and then see what comes back. And then to the other side of that, being willing to assert your own version of reality into consciousness in some way, and to be able to name things, name yourself, name the concept that you're doing, identify, that's a kind of an Aries trait, identify what it is that you are and what you want to do, and then be willing to sustain the effort and make it happen. Now, there's no guarantee that anything happens, but if anybody has a chart where there's a pretty good chance that what you want to do will happen, Pisces has that type of creative potential. But the way Pisces is accessing that creative potential is by working in harmony, in tandem, with a number of other signs of the zodiac, and really tapping that energy consciously, really extracting those other elements from the sea, saying, I have a Sagittarian side of my nature. I'm going to access that side of my nature when it comes time to set a goal. I have a Leo side of my nature. I'm going to access that side of my nature when it comes time to get a huge amount of work done with a very good attitude and have it happen. I have an Aries side of my nature. I do not need to be the person who's always in the background. I can step forward. I can take the chance of asserting who I am first to myself. One other bit. A lot of creativity is stifled by people being afraid that everyone is going to be too conservative for their idea. The Pisces chart is set up with Capricorn in the 11th house. And so that indicates a couple of things. One is actually you can harmonize with that prevailing conservatism of society, that you have a way of speaking the language of that conservatism and then translating your innovative, radical, different, new, creative, bold, strange, interesting, beautiful ideas into something that's very well presented. And so presentation is a very important part of your creative freedom, how you present things, how you tailor them, how you give something a slightly traditional look and feel, even though there's actually something new inside. This is kind of like a story of new wine in old bottles rather than the other way around. The other thing is that Pluto is moving through the 11th house. And what Pluto is doing in your chart, from your point of view, is changing what the public is ready for. And Pluto through Capricorn is saying that there has been some damage done to this false modesty and false conservatism and hyper adherence to tradition and the way things are supposed to be, in this kind of bullshit false propriety that seems to be such a dominant mood in culture at times. You know, it's like, do you ever get that feeling that everyone's just trying to impress one another with how conservative they are? Well, that has actually been very nicely stressed out the past few years, and it does not hold the water that it used to, and that whole charade does not work as well as it used to. And what that has left is an opening for you to move into. It's not exactly like carving a niche. It's almost like a whole section of a city that was abandoned and useless has been torn down and is now free to be rebuilt, and you're the person who gets to come along and do some building right in that fairly large swath of what used to be concepts of civilization and concepts of propriety that are just now crumbling and don't persuade like they used to. It is, the seeming pendulum swinging back and forth between conservatism and liberalism is, I think, a tired metaphor. And there has to be a model of ongoing progress that is not about a swing in any one direction, but rather about an evolutionary experience where there's a series of mutations that don't go back. And sometimes those mutations can be very rapid. Even without any engineering going on, there's just a threshold reached and an adaptation that is a very large adaptation that makes possible things that would have been deemed completely impossible the day before or the week before. And this is happening all the time, and this is something that you can take advantage of. And one beautiful thing about your chart right now is that Uranus in your second house, your sense of I am, your sense of your values, is constantly nudging on, testing, pushing, stretching against the prevailing values in the culture. And you are, I think, it looks like from your astrology, doing a lot of experimentation with where you might fit in, how you might fit in, how you might make some extra room for yourself or find that you have a role that you've always wanted to have, but that wasn't necessarily forthcoming. We live in very rapidly changing times. I know we live in grievous times in many ways. There is so much that is going so wrong in the world right now, and this is weighing on a lot of people, especially on sensitive people such as yourself, who don't want to see suffering, who don't want to have to be constantly confronted by the fact of human cruelty. And the way out of that from an individual standpoint is to be as kind of a person as you can be and turn your creativity toward the solutions and toward the evolutionary process and have the courage to put that out in the world. What you do is necessary. What you offer the people around you is necessary. What you are introducing to the culture is necessary. It is how the culture moves and changes, by the willingness of individuals to step out of what is not working and what is not working for them, and to step into what is working or even what might work, what has the potential to work, and to be willing to carry on consciously the experiment of the human experience on Earth. All right, on that note, I will declare these readings complete. I do plan to record a prologue. We'll see how that goes, and an audio intro for those who like a kind of a summary for those who haven't yet signed up for this. So I've got possibly two more recordings to go, but the 12 signs are complete. Speaking of, if you are not Pisces rising, if you're Pisces sun, please do check your rising sign. You can look that up at astro.com. All you need is your date, place, and time of birth to calculate your ascendant. A lot of the work I do is ascendant-based because it's so strongly rooted in all 12 houses, which work as houses of the sun if you're Pisces sun, and then which also work for the whole sign solar houses and can therefore be tuned into your sign rising. Don't forget to check out the group phone call. That'll be like a conference call in a couple of weeks, probably the fourth week of August, where we will get to talk about these readings. So save your questions and your comments, scribble them down, get one of those large sticky notes and just attach that to your desk and take a little bit of notes day by day and then formulate a thought. That'll be in about a week and a half or 2 weeks, and I look forward to speaking with you then. Thanks for tuning in to this process. Thanks for being someone who dares to express your creativity to the world, and I will catch you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.